Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How's everybody doing? Praise God. Man. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, my brother. How's everybody doing? Come on, we're in the house of the Lord. How's everybody doing? Man, I'm going to use Felix's word. Doesn't it feel excited to be in the house of God? Man, better than any prison, any drug house, any streets, ain't that? You know what? Get on your feet real quick. Just get on your feet. Just one second. Get on your feet and give God some praise. We're in the house of the Lord. Give God some praise. That's what I'm talking. You may be seated. It's a privilege to be in the house of God. It's a blessing that we have a place like this, that we are able to come and worship Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about today. I mean, I'm excited for God, and I can tell you are too. Regardless of the situation we are in, we are called by God to be the light of this world. We are called by God to do great things for his kingdom. And I know in a room this big right now, there's many, many things that are going on in your life. It could be good. It could be bad. But I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we leave here with hope and courage with your word in the name of Jesus. And I pray, because sometimes what can happen in our walk with God, it's like working out. If you are a person that goes to the gym consistently, they tell you to confuse your muscle sometimes. They tell you to do something different because what happens, your muscle gets adapted to the same workouts. You know, you're running this. Everything's just the same, and you don't see results no more. So sometimes in our walk, probably most of the time in our walk with God, we've got to change some things. Because I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer because we're in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be closing out in Ephesians 3. That we see Paul talking about prayer. And we see Paul, we are blessed to see Paul praying. And we get to see his examples in prayer. But I encourage you that when we leave here, in a place of just awe with God, understanding that God is just not a God to fix our problems, but he's a God to put you in a place to be an example for believers and non-believers, if you like it or not. You're the one that said, I do to Jesus. And he wants to use you to a world that little by little is falling further and further away from God. And what God is looking for, he's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman to say, you know what, God, I might not be where I need to be, God, but I believe that you can take me to that place where I need to be. And that's the God we serve. I'm going to open up. I read this today. It was a lost generation. Youth of today. I didn't even know the high school was going to be in here. Youth of today without Bible knowledge or conviction can be targeted toward acceptance of ungodly lifestyles condemned in God's word. They are easily influenced because of a lost generation concept in which little regard is given towards older generational instructions. We are seeing the wisdom of the older generation being brushed aside, with newly proclaimed ways of younger generations being adopted. The youth of today's spiritual leaders of tomorrow can become a valuable asset to society if nourished in the word of God that is passed from one generation to another. You know what it's saying? It's saying some of us that are seasoned, that are walking with God, we have something to give to this generation. But if they're not seeing Christ in us, why are they going to believe in the God that we worship about? Why are they going to believe in the God that we praise when consistently our life is just always about us and God fix our problems instead of our life being about, no, God, if you need to keep me where I am at to be a light to you, God, I'll do it. That's what God is looking for. All of it. We could probably stand up for hours in some of the areas we are at that we're struggling with. But you know what? You just keep praising God. You keep walking into this place as they allow us to, and you worship Jesus. So we're going to look at Ephesians. But the first verse I want us to look at is 1 Corinthians 11:1. I'm trying to stay calm with them. I'm excited for God. I'm being honest. This is Apostle Paul. This is Apostle Paul talking. We've been reading these past few weeks about Apostle Paul. And the last time I was up here, Paul, and he still is, he didn't leave yet, he's still in prison, he's still shackled. He's still encouraging the Ephesian church about just giving their life and surrendering to God and doing great things for his kingdom. But Paul says this, and I don't think there's too many people that can come up here and grab a mic and say this, but God wants us to get to a place of this. Listen to what Paul says. Be imitators of me. I'm just going to stop right there. Do you guys want anybody to imitate you right now, some of you? Hopefully some of us do, though. He says, be imitators. That's a bold statement for the great Apostle Paul to say. Be imitators of me. But hold up. Just as I also am of Christ. We're going to stay right there real quick. You would say imitator. It'd be like me calling a few guys up here and imitate everything I do, right? Like Tom was imitating me last Wednesday. Like, hey, right? He's imitating me. He's imitating me. And I liked it, praise God. But he's saying, be imitators of me. Because Paul knew who he was, number one, who he was in Jesus, regardless of the situation he was in. He said, follow me as I follow Christ in his example. So what does that tell us? Our life's not about following our own examples, right? And following the world's examples. No, Paul made it clear. Imitate me, walk like me, if you got to talk like me, if you got to pray like me, if you got to encourage like me, if you got to love like me, if you got to give hope like me, imitate me because I imitate Christ. That's where God wants us. God wants us to be in a place to say, you know what, God? I want some people to imitate what I'm doing. I'm worshiping you, God. I'm praying, God, and there's people around me, God. Give me that heart desire for you, God, so I can be an imitator of you so people can see that. Not always walking in here, poor you, poor me, but walking in here and saying, you know what, God, poor me, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you all the glory in my life, God. Like I said, that's a bold statement. Not too many people can come up here and say, hey, just be an imitator of me. Do you really want them to imitate you in some of your areas? You have to ask yourself that question. But thank God for the Word of God, because he gives us an instruction manual to learn and grow and become imitators of Christ Jesus. And so he gives us hope that one day we can say, you know what, God? I'm ready to be used. I'm ready to be an example for this next generation. I'm ready to show some of these men and women of God about prayer and miracles. About regardless if I'm on the mountaintop or if I'm on the bottom of that mountain, that God, I'll still praise you through the trials and the tribulations of my life. That's what this generation is looking for. We can talk all we want, but if they don't see God in us, then why would we expect some of these young men and women of God to follow Jesus when they don't see Jesus in none of us? But I believe some of us here today are gonna hear God speak to you in some of your areas in your life. And remember, God wasn't a God to come to me so I can, you don't do this and do that. No, he says, come to me so I can give you abundant life and life abundantly. So I can free you from areas in your life so you can be an example for the kingdom of God. So we open up in Ephesians. So we see what Paul's talking about. We see the great Apostle Paul. He wants people to follow after him in his example. So let's look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to read 13 first and we'll go right to 14. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Next verse, and we're going to stay here. Listen to this. So this is Paul. And let's go back a couple weeks ago. Where is Paul? He's in prison. He's bound by chains. He's in a Roman prison, bound by chains. And it even says that he was chained to people. He's in a place of it's this unhealthy situation. It's disgusting. It's bad. But here it is. Paul's like, don't worry about me. I know what Jesus is. He's trying to encourage the Ephesian church about that. But listen to what he said. I want you to catch this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So he's about to go into a prayer to God. We're about to read his prayers. But before he goes into his prayer, he's telling us what he's doing. And we're not going to be legalistic here and say, hey, well, you have to bow your knees, you have to lay on your face. We all pray in different ways. Some stand, some kneel, some like praying in their car in their time. But you know what he's showing us here? Where his heart is in his prayer. Because we look in the Gospels with the religious people, they wanted people to see them out in the streets and I'm praying and I'm fasting. But no, Paul said, no. I'm about to talk to the King of Kings. I don't know if some of you guys know that when you're praying who you're talking to. You ever got that call and you got to go talk to your boss and maybe he wants to talk to you about a raise? I mean, you're gonna probably want to go talk to him correctly, right? And respect him. It's your boss. And sometimes what can happen, just like that muscle that we just keep doing over and over and over and we don't see results, what happens? That can happen in our prayer life. Because you know why? We forget who we're talking to. And you got to remember, we're coming from a generation that became very disrespectful. Forgot about honor and respect. You see it all the time. People don't even open door. And if you do open a door for somebody, somebody's mad at you. And if you don't open the door, somebody's mad. So we live in that generation today that we have a great opportunity to do something for God. And so Paul goes, let's go to that verse. Listen to Paul. I'm going to explain to you what Paul's doing. So Paul says this. Go back to 14, please. We're going to stay there for a second. For this reason, I bow my knees before. He's not doing it in a religious way. He's doing it for this reason. Out of respect, I put right here, out of an act of worship, out of submission, out of honor, out of humility to who he's about to talk to. You ever do those prayers? Okay, who's going to pray for the food? Okay, for God, bless you in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you ever hear that? This is the Christian talk. Hey, I'll keep you in prayer. Never pray for you. Or you know what? Let me pray about it. Never pray. We got to get back to something here. We got to understand what Paul's doing. Paul's understanding, I'm in prison, man. And all these people are watching me. I don't care. I don't care if I'm humiliated. I'm not going to get humiliated because I'm about to talk to God. And Paul, in honor and respect and humility, and just saying, man, I'm not just talking to my friend that don't just gossip. I'm talking to the King of Kings. I'm talking to the Lord of Lords. I'm talking to the Lily of the Valley. I'm talking to the God that set me free. And I'm going to honor this God. I'm going to respect this God who I'm talking to. When we can get to a place of honor and respect and humility, guess what? You ain't just going to walk in here. That's a good song. I wish they would have sung. No, you don't walk in here and say, oh, my God. You mean we have an opportunity to come together as believers and worship. Oh, my God. Nobody has to tell me to raise my hands. I'm going to honor the King. Nobody has to tell me, well, the altar's open. Come on. No, there's an altar here? Where's an altar? Oh, my Lord. I'm going to go and I'm going to praise Jesus. We have to get to a place of understanding he's the God of the universe. He's the God why you are here today. He's the God that set you free. He's the God that sent his son, Jesus. He's the God that gave you hope. He's the God that gave you a purpose. He's the God that got you up this morning. And he's the same God that can take you today. We got to come to a place of understanding why Paul didn't just say, you know what, God, just heal these Ephesians people, set them free. God, if it's your will. No, it is God's will to do something greater in your life. So we see right here, and I'm going to read a few more verses on this. We'll stay here for a second. I want you to get this. Next time you open your mouth in prayer, who you are talking to. Maybe before you pray, think about before you got saved where you were, and I promise you, you'll probably come into a different reverence of who God is, probably even when you pray for your food. Or pray for somebody. This is Christianity 101. This is real. We're talking about God here. We're talking about the God that loved us when we didn't love him. That's the God we're talking about. So Paul goes on to say, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Because he respected, he honored, he knew about, the Bible talks a lot about honoring kings and high leaders. He knew, I'm about to come and talk to the King. And I want to share some prayers of my heart of the Ephesian people. And listen to a few of these verses here. Psalms 95. 6 and 7. I love this verse. 95. Psalms 9. Listen to this. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. I love that it said that. Our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice. He says, come. And why does he say kneel? Because he's our maker. Because he created us. He said he knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He knew everything about us. And now you understand, it wasn't a religious thing. No, it was an honor. It was a respect. It was a humility thing. It was something about honoring God, who he was. Look at this one, Ephesians 6, 2, and 3. A lot of people don't know this. We've lost what I'm about to read. And this is young and old. I see it all the time. And this is one of the verses, and this is one of the commandments that God gives you a promise. He says, honor your father and mother. Let me stop right there. It didn't say you have to agree with them all the time. It didn't say that. But you know what it's saying? If you're a child of God, you need to respect, you need to honor your mother and your father. Listen to this, which is the first commandment with a what? With a promise. Next, keep going, please. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. So if he's telling us to honor our father and mother, and if we're walking around and we're not, how are we gonna honor God? That's a commandment from God. And a promise. He said, hey, man, if you can come some way to a place to honor your father and mother. And trust me, I have a broken home. I had a mother over here and a father over there. And it took me a lot to come to a place, especially with my mom, to say, God, forgive me so I can at least, I don't have to agree with her lifestyle, God. But I need to honor her because you used her to give me life. There's a reason why God wants you to honor your father and your mother. 1 Peter, listen to this, 2:17. I get some of you guys. Honor what? All people. But Pastor Al, you don't know who I work with. It don't matter. Are you born again? Do you want to get to a place where you can become an imitator of God? He says honor all people. You know what he's saying? Honor, respect, have humility to people. If you're born again. Now, if you're not born again and you came here, this might not be speaking to you just yet. But when you say I do, God puts a responsibility inside of you to be an example. Then he goes on to say this, love the brotherhood. Listen to this, fear God. Honor what? The king. Who's the king? Jesus. He's the king of kings. So now we see, it wasn't a religious thing that Paul did. Now he was getting on my knees, everybody. Paul thought, no, I'm about to talk to God. I need to pray for these Ephesian people. Oh, I need to pray for my kids. I need to pray for my family. There's a place where you come in desperate need. And if it's laying on your faces, if it's on your knees, if it's lifting up your hands, you're surrendering to God. You're giving everything to God. Now listen to this. A lot of you guys are familiar with this. Luke 22, 39, 46. This is Jesus. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. And he came out and proceeded as was his custom to Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter in temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he, listen, this is Jesus. This is the Jesus, your Savior. Listen to what he did. He was in a desperate place right now. He's about to go to the cross for us. Some of them don't even care about him. Listen to what he said. I knelt down. And I began to pray. Listen to what he said. Next verse. Saying, Father, and we've talked about this before. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. He's in desperate need. You know what he was really saying? He's on his knees going, oh, God, Father. God, I do not want to die for these people. They don't care about me. No, Lord, why? But listen to what he says. In desperate need for the Father to answer his prayer. But he stopped there. He goes, hold on. But not my will, but yours be done. Next verse, now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in agony, listen to this, I want you to catch this. He was praying very fervently and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. We can get out of that verse. This is our Lord and Savior. This is the Son of God. And like I said, he wasn't doing it in a religious way. He was doing it in desperate need of God to answer a prayer. He didn't just do it just ritual. Well, we got to pray in the morning. We got to wake up. We got to pray in the morning. Before I go to bed, I got to pray. And I got to make sure to pray at dinner. No, he's not saying that. No. He's saying you're communicating with God. I don't know if you guys realize that. You're talking to God. When you open up your mouth and you make your request known to Jesus. And Jesus, our main example that Paul imitates, went to a garden and knelt down before the Father. And even is so desperate in his prayer, the Bible said that his sweat became like blood. And guess what? For you. For you. And so now we see, now it starts to make sense of how Paul, before he even opened up in prayer, regardless, can you imagine being in a prison cell, chained to all these men, and they're just looking like, what is this guy doing? And so next time you walk in here, like I said, we're not being legalistic about it. You can pray he's not saying you have to be, but he's showing his heart that is in this prayer, how desperate he is to hear from God. And this is an example that Paul is setting for all of us. This woke me up. I changed my prayer over my food today. I go, Father God, I thank you. First God, I thank you that I am. I changed my whole prayer eating today by me seeing Paul's example of his prayer life, of how desperate he was for God to do a miracle in the church of Ephesians. Okay, we're going to go to our next verse. Well, look at this. So we get that? That makes that God has called us to a place that we can come to him with humility, with honor, with respect, and God will do something great in your life when you make your request known to him. Because he talked about two different people praying. And I believe today, just by your response in worship, that we have a group of people in here that are willing to say, you know what, Al, I'm going to take this a little bit more serious of serving Jesus so I can be that imitator for him. Give God some praise in this place. That's the God we serve. We're going to look at Ephesians 3:16. We're going to go to 16. Listen to this now. And now Paul's praying. He's in pray mode now. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Listen to this, to be strengthened. I'm going to stop right there. That God, he's saying to, now he's praying. He goes, God, grant them according to your riches and your glory to strengthen them. And I got a few verses. Listen to this, Philippians 4:13, a very familiar verse. And sometimes we just tattoo it on us and don't even know what it means. Listen to what I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the strength that Paul's, now he's praying. He said, oh God, they need you. They're about to get persecuted. Things are about to happen in Ephesians. And this is a great verse for all of us, not just to look at it because you've seen it on a shirt, but to understand this is the word of God. That you and every single one of you in this place and every one of you watching online, you give your life fully to God. He promises that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Let's look at this verse, Romans 2:4. Here's some of God's riches in his glory. Listen to this. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and his tolerance and patience, not knowing, listen to this, that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Let's stay right there. So when the Bible says that Paul's crying out, God, give him your glorious riches. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about his riches and his kindness, of his God's patience. And this is what he says. You see, he says his kindness will lead us to repentance. Romans 11:33. Let's look at that verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unresearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Listen to what he's telling us. He says, in the depth of his riches and his wisdom and his knowledge. So what Paul's saying is he's saying, God, give him your wisdom. Give him your knowledge. Give him your strength, God. That's what he's saying in this verse. Let's look at Ephesians 1:7. Listen to what he says. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to what? To the riches of his grace. So when you hear Paul talking in Ephesians 3:16, he goes, I pray that out of your riches and your glory, God. So he's pretty much saying, God, out of your knowledge, out of your wisdom, out of your grace, God, give them strength. Strength for what? I'll put a few things right here. Strength to have strength in your faith, to have strength against sin, to have strength to speak. Here's one, to have strength to serve. God wants to give you a supernatural strength when you trust in him. And listen to this verse right here, Ephesians 2:4. Listen to this. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Isn't that amazing what Paul, that's just one of the verses that Paul is crying out on his knees. Talking to God about what he wants to see in the church. that he knew what God can give them for the church. Did you ever notice that? Not one time in this prayer, we're going to read a few more verses here in a minute. Not one time did Paul cry out to God about himself. Not one time did God say, God, please get me out of this place, God. Please give me hope, Lord. You know why? Because he knew who he was in Jesus. He knew that he was able to be an example to those people in that prison where he was. And so God was using Paul to be an example to the Ephesian church in his own trials. And we sometimes now when we come up to that verse when the Bible talks about find great joy through various trials, because you know why? Because God can't have us all on the mountaintop. How will people ever see God in our life? How will people ever see God in our life if sometimes we ain't in a place we don't want to be? And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's self-inflicted. But then there's some times in our own life that we're following God, where we're doing what God has called us to do. And all of a sudden, that trial comes up. And God is showing us here, if we're connected to him, if we imitate Paul in some of his ways, if it's praying, if it's seeking God, that he will give us supernatural strength to get through it. That's the God we serve right there. So he goes on to say in go back to verse 16, please. I can't believe the time already. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, listen to this, with the power through his spirit in the inner man. See, a lot of times we're still trying to fix the outer man, the outer woman. Did you notice that? We're still trying to fake it till we make it. Let me tell you right now, God, he wants to heal you within. He wants you when you come in here and you are worshiping him and praising him, that he wants to change the inside of you. He wants to get deep down into the brokenness of you. He wants to go to places that maybe you don't even remember. And that's the God we serve. And there's a reason why. Because he wants to use you. He wants to mold you into the likeness of him. He wants you to be in a place that when you walk out of here, that you have just a good church service. No, you're like, no, God changed me. God gave me a word. God spoke to me. God did something in my life that I've tried everything else that would not work. But when I gave my life completely to Jesus, he set me free. Give God some praise. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that wants to heal you. I'm not going to make a habit of this, but I don't know how to sing. So there's a song I get like that. I'll listen to a song and I won't stop listening to it and stop listening to it, stop listening to it. But this song, it's speaking to my life. And sometimes you might just get that song or you might get that word or you might get that verse and you just hold on to it deeply. And I've shared with you guys many times before, one of the verses that I shared on deeply was 2 Timothy 1:7, for God doesn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, because I didn't know what a sound mind was. So that was that verse that I just felt that at that moment in that time that God gave me, and I held on to it. And I believe through this area in my own life that God gave this song. It's called, this is what it says. That's the thing about praise. And I'm sure many of you, if you listen to Christian radio station, you heard it. But I like what these words say, because sometimes we want to leave here and be completely set free, completely healed. But sometimes God said, I'm going to take you through some valley. I want to show you some things. I want to work on you. I don't want to just heal you. I want you to want me. If God healed you completely, some of you today, you probably never come back. Every time I would pray to God to do something, man, I probably would never came back. And I can testify looking back in my own life and some of my areas in my own life. If God would have supernaturally healed me at that moment, I probably wouldn't be here today. So let that give you some hope. But listen to what it says. It goes, that's why I say hallelujah. It don't always fix your problems. Listen to this. But it'll tell you how small they are. Give God some praise. It won't always move the mountains. But it's good for your heart. That's the things about praise. I love this one. You'll never know what is going to change. But it always leaves a mark. That's the thing about praise. So give God some praise in this house tonight. That's the God we serve. He might not have all the answers for you today. But if you stay connected to God, I promise you, I can't promise you a lot. There's a lot of things I just can't. But I know one thing that I can promise you, that God will lead you through the valley. Doesn't matter what Goliath, doesn't matter what mountains in your way, God will give you the strength to get through it and give God a praise. Well, guys, those that are watching online, I'm going to show a video clip, but this video clip, we will be able to put it back online so you can check this out. We love you guys at VBF. God bless you. Guys, I want you guys to watch this video.
He said, "Star, I need to ask you a question. I need to ask you if you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead." And I said, "Yeah, I believe that." He leaned forward on his little counselor couch. He looked me really deep in the eye and he shook his head and he said, "Star, you don't hear what I'm asking you. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God took that dead man out of the grave and raised him to life again so that you could be saved?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe that." He said, "So let me get this straight. You believe that God can take a dead man out of the grave, raise him to life again to save you for all of eternity, but you don't believe that that same God can heal your marriage." I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it was my moment. It was like God decided, "She's going to see today. I'm going to turn the lights on." And I wondered, like, what if God could do what this counselor's telling me he could do? What if he could do it? I turned this much. I turned toward God, I turned toward Hans, and I'm telling you that we watched him begin to unfold things in our life and in our marriage that we had never experienced. Mm.
Please, everybody on their feet, we're gonna pray. So I ask you this question. You might have came in here today. Maybe some of your friends dragged you here. You have some trials. You have some areas in your life, you don't know how you're going to get through it. So I ask you the same question that counselor asked that lady. Do you really believe? I don't know if any of you, I mean, I don't want to say, it wasn't a good thing to see. But last month, I sat there right by my father-in-law as he died for 5 hours. No heartbeat, no blood circulation, nothing. Hopeless, dead. He was born again. But I got to witness the body. I mean, not for 5 hours, no life. Little by little, within like hours, the body starts shrinking up and starts getting pale. And I say that to say this. So do you really believe that God really sent his son Jesus to really, really ask? Now you ask yourself this question, that he really died. That he really, really died. No heartbeat, no blood circulation, all of his organs shut down, nothing in the brain left, zero, nothing, nothing, nothing. And he's in this stone grave, shrinking up, no life, turning pale. But in 3 days, something, the heartbeat started beating, the blood started circulating, the organs started working, the brain started functioning again, and he walked out of that tomb on that third day. If you believe in that, that's the God today that can set you free. That's the God that can heal you. That's the God that can break the chains. That's the God. If you believe in, that's the God I believe in, you know what? I have no problem, because I'm going to give it all to God today. Give God the loudest shout of praise in this place today. That's the God you serve. That's the God that's going to set you free. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Amen. Every head bowed. Prayer team, let's get on up here. We're going to pray. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, we thank you for your mercy and your wonderful grace, Lord. God, we thank you for giving us the Apostle Paul to show us the examples in your word, Lord, how he was desperate for you and praying in desperate need, Lord, for a miracle. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus today, Lord. I pray that you spoke to somebody today, God, that right now in the name of Jesus, if you need a miracle from God, if you just need a prayer, if you need encouragement, you can just come right to this altar right now. You don't care what anybody else next to you is worrying about. You come right now. We're going to pray for you. And right now, I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's somebody, anybody in here today, this is Pastor Al, I do believe that Jesus died and rose again, but I ain't born again, but today I want to give my life to Jesus. You raise your hand right where you're at. Raise your hand right where you're at, and you say, God, there's a couple back there. You raise your hand, we won't pray for you, there's a few of you. And we won't pray right now together. I want everybody to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to send your son Jesus into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I ask you to strengthen me today. Thank you, Lord, for the journey that I'm about to be on with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.